С Новым годом! Happy New Year to every one of you. We're delighted that you're with us on this New Year's Sunday of 2017. Let's just pause and pray. We've just done something extremely important in the sight of God. We have remembered. We have remembered His body, His blood that was given for us. Without His body and His blood, we have no salvation. We have no life that is eternal. So let's thank Him for that, shall we? Father, thank You so much for Your mercy, for Your grace. Thank You so much for this opportunity we have at the beginning of 2017 to stop and to remember. And we do this morning. We want to remember Jesus. We want to be full of thanksgiving because we remember that unless Jesus comes into the world, then we have no opportunity. We remain under the judgment of death. But because Jesus comes and because Jesus dies and because Jesus is raised from the dead, we have life. So we offer You our thanksgiving. We say thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for this opportunity to reflect a little bit on the new year and what it means. I pray that You will lead us, You will teach us. Be our teacher today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here we are at the beginning of 2017. So if we imagine this line right here is 2017, I'm going to put my toes just over the edge because we're only how many hours into it? We're 12 hours into 2017, right? So behind us, we have 2016, 15 back there, and before us lies another year. In one sense, as Marcus said before, nothing's really changed, right? We still live in this world. It's still a broken world. In fact, if you read the news this morning, you'll realize that in the early hours of this year already in Istanbul, a huge explosion, some 30-some-odd people killed. We still live in this broken world. But what I'd like to reflect on just for a few minutes this morning as we're gathered together as the body of Christ is that this moment of transition gives us an opportunity to think about life, to think about life in perhaps a different way than what we otherwise think about. It's a transition, right? We're going from 2016, we're going into 2017. And what I've called our time this morning is remembering to live expectantly. But what I want us to do is think about this word, think about the words and which direction they cause us to look, right? When we use the word remember, which direction do we look? Well, usually we look back, right? We're remembering back, right? When we live expectantly, which direction are we looking? We're looking forward. What I want to suggest to you as we're standing at this transition point between 16 and 17, what I want to challenge us with this morning is this idea of looking back, looking forward, for what purpose? Because actually we live in the present, don't we? We don't live in the past, we don't live in the future, we live in the present. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is that in order to live fully in the present, and it doesn't just happen at this transition time, it happens throughout the year, but in order to live fully in the present, we can't just look at the present. We can't just look at what's going on right around us. We need to think back, we need to remember what's gone on in the past, and we need to look at the future and anticipate what God is going to do. So I want to suggest we can only live fully in the present by remembering, by looking back, and also by living expectantly by looking forward. As I was trying to think about an analogy for this or a word picture, it came to my mind the idea of driving a car, right? So imagine I'm driving a car here. Can I drive a car by just looking at the car? Can I drive a car by just looking at the radio? Nice radio, nice stereo, very good. And I'm driving the car. I don't do very well at driving the car by looking at the car, do I? I have to look ahead, right? I also have a mirror in the car. What's the mirror for? Well, it's to look at my beautiful face, right? No, it's to look behind me, right? To think back. And if we think about, yeah, we need to know what's going on behind us. But if we think in a metaphorical sense, we also think of driving. We remember the rules of the road that we learned, right? We remember that when the light blinks green, you go faster, right? No, wait, that's the opposite, right? You're supposed to stop, right, when the light blinks green. So we remember things from the past. We remember things that we've learned. And in order to drive well, we're looking expectantly towards the future, right? We're looking for, you know, children on the road. We're looking for cars coming in when they shouldn't be, things like that, right? We're looking ahead, anticipating. So it's this idea that in order to live fully in the present, we need to look back. We also need to look forward. My strong desire for us today as we stand on the verge of 2017 is that we would encourage each other, that we would challenge each other to live fully in the present. And we would do that by looking back and remembering, and we'd also do it by looking forward with anticipation. I want us to look back in this way. In a few moments, I want us to have opportunity to share with each other. So I'd like you to be thinking about these questions that are on the screen at the moment. What is one way that God has been faithful to me in this past year? So part of the thing about remembering is that, what's the opposite of remembering? Forgetting, right? So sometimes we can go through life and not think about what's happened. So New Year's gives us a chance to think about what's happened. So I would like to give us just a short opportunity for people who want to share something this morning to say one way that God has been faithful to me this past year. What is one way in which God has shown that he loves me in this past year? What is one thing I've learned about God in this past year? In what way did I see God's presence in this last year? If something comes to mind, just think about that. In a few moments, I'll give you an opportunity for people who would like to share to do that. But before we do that, it's important for us as a community to think about what's been going on in the bigger picture. So we think about what's been going on in our world. How would you describe 2016? What words would you use to describe 2016? I've seen a number of news reports. One news report called it the year of anger. Other news reports are using different words. Let me just think about a couple of different scenarios that come to mind, areas of life. If we think about our world politically, it's quite an amazing year, 2016. There's been winds of political change that have taken us by surprise, right? There's been unexpected changes in our world in this year. We think from Europe, we think to America, we think to the Middle East, we think to South America, we think to Southeast Asia. So many unexpected changes in our world. We've seen impeachments, we've seen failed coups, we've seen very surprising election results. All of these things have happened in our world, and it's changed our world. We've seen so much in the way of violence in this year. As I've also been reading the news reports and also talking with family and friends, it seems like 2016 was a year that was marked by an unusually high number of deaths of famous people in our world, right? Think about our world. Think about the well-known people, famous people in our world in different spheres of life who have died in this past year. What names come to your mind? Think of Fidel Castro. In the political world, think of Carrie Fisher, who died in the entertainment world. Princess Leia, right, as they're making this new movie, and her mom died the day after. George Michael's from the music world. Prince also from the music world. You know, lots of high profile people in our world have died in 2016. What should we think about this? What should we learn from this? Because the point of remembering is to ask the question, what is it that we can learn from these things that have happened in the past? And what we realize by looking at our world is that life is fragile. Even famous people are not immune from death. So what do we learn about life? I wonder, if we bring it from this big picture and famous people, if we bring it down to our own lives, our own experience, I wonder, as you stand here at this transition point and you look back on 2016, I wonder what kind of emotions, what kind of words come to your mind. I would suggest that for all of us, memories are mixed as we look back over 12 months. There will be some painful memories. There will be stressful times at work or elsewhere, stressful relationships, feelings of loneliness, feelings of loss, feelings of grief. But also there will be some joy-filled moments in this past year, time with family and friends, vacation time, good things happening at work, new relationships, deepening love. To one degree or another, all of us have these mixed memories as we look back over this past year. We think about it in the context of our own church community here at the International Church of Bishkek. We have experienced loss in this past year. One way we've experienced loss is through families. Families who have been with us for many years have left. It's the nature of International Church, right? People come and people leave. And some people who were part of our community for many years, for one reason or another, left us in this past year, and we miss them, right? They're gone. So it's a feeling of loss. We also experienced death in our community. January, we suffered together with Prince and Patience as the loss of their baby Favor, 4 months old. A time of grieving for all of us. A time of coming alongside. A time of asking a lot of questions that doesn't seem to be many answers to. And then in March, 16-year-old Joseph Merritt unexpectedly, for no reason, died in his bed, 16 years of age. We grieved with the Merritt family in this last year. We walked through these seasons that were very difficult for us. And as we walked through those times, we walked together. And we look back on those difficult times and we say, God, what is it you're trying to teach us? We cannot answer the why questions. There's so many answers that we don't have in terms of why these things happen. But I suggest that as we stand at this intersection of the years, that we look back and we say, God, what is it that we can learn through these difficulties? What is it that you want to teach us through these difficult things that have happened in our community? Well, within our community, we've also experienced the blessings of God. We welcomed many new families. Some of you came to our community this year, and we've welcomed you, and we're very glad that God has brought you to be part of our community here. We had the privilege of celebrating at least one baby dedication, celebrating baptisms together. Several of you were baptized here in this year. And one of the strong memories that I have in this past year is celebrating Easter together. For those of you that were here, we were outside under the canopy. It was a beautiful celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And many of us were also up on the mountain earlier that morning celebrating the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And so as a community, again, we have these mixed memories as we look back over this past year. So I want to come back to these questions again and say, what is one way that God has been faithful to you? And what I'd like to do is just ask, I don't want to open up the mic for very long, but I do have two microphones here. And if you have something that you would like to say, share with our community, this is an opportunity for us to share together and to celebrate together something that God has done, some way in which God has been faithful to you in this past year. And let us celebrate together what God has done. What is one thing God has taught you? What's one place where you've seen God in your life? One of my favorite books for these seasons of transition is the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to share a couple of thoughts from Deuteronomy chapter 4. But before we do that, let's set the story. And so I need some help here. I have some prizes, by the way, some really nice chocolate prizes. So I need some help. So setting the story of the time of the people of Israel. So if we read the story of Genesis, we read God establishing the nation of Israel through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The family becomes bigger. They become a nation of thousands of people. So here's my first question that I'd like someone who is under the age of 10 to answer. the question is this, as we start this story of the beginning of the book of Exodus, the people of Israel are in slavery, right? They're in slavery. It's an awful period of time for them. This particular country is pressing on them very, very hard, and they're slaves in this country. In which country are the people of God slaves? You have to put up your hand, and I've got a prize. No, only if you're under 10. Parents are allowed to help. Egypt. Well done. There you go. Marcus will share. All right, so they're in Egypt. The people of Israel are in slavery. God looks down on his people, and he sees their trouble, right? He sees that they're in slavery, and God raises up a leader who will help them to get out of Egypt. What's that leader's name? Okay, this is going to be a challenge. Don't let anybody else get it, okay? Okay, so Moses is raised up. Moses comes along with these people. This one will be for people, let's say, 18 and under. Okay, we just got to raise the bar a little bit. So Moses comes, and God does a lot of miracles in order to give permission for the people of Israel to leave Egypt, right? What was the very significant miracle that God did through Moses in order to get the people out of Egypt? Sorry? The death of the firstborn son. That was the last of the plagues, right? I'll accept that. What was, there you go. That was a bounce shot. That was pretty good. What was the miracle after that, once they started on the journey? Okay, now no stealing, guys. Yeah, so God, the people were at the, what sea was it? The Red Sea, right? And what did God do? He parted the water, right? So all these thousands of people walked through the Red Sea. Then they came up through the Red Sea. God protected them. Here they are, the people of God, on the other side of the Red Sea. God takes them to a mountain. What was that mountain's name? Mount Sinai. What did God... No. Can I see your passport, please? This is open game now, okay? So after God brings them to this mountain, what does God give to them at the mountain? I saw that hand. The hand is the thing that counts here. So God gives them the law, right? What is the law? The law is instructions for the people of God as to how they should live, how they should live in relationship to God, but also how they should live in relationship to each other, right? This is what God gives them as he brings them to the mountain. So God gives them the law, and then now he's ready to take them into the land of promise, right? God had prepared this land for them to live in. And what happens? Moses sends some spies into the land. What kind of report do those spies bring? So it's a land of giants, right? And they painted this picture of fear, and they said, we can't go into this land that God has promised us because there's many giants there. They will overcome us. We cannot successfully go and live there. So then what happens? What happens after that? What does God do? So God turns them away. God says, okay, because of your unbelief, you cannot enter the land right now. So I'm going to send you into the wilderness, right? How long did they live in the wilderness? I see that hand. That's the back row. Sorry, I hope that didn't hurt. So imagine this, 40 years. 40 years they wander in the desert, right? Some of you are not yet 40 years old. Some of you can remember 1977, right? Some of us can remember 1977. But it's a long time. So now, here we're getting to the point of the story here. So here's these thousands of people now wandering in the desert for 40 years. And now when we come to Deuteronomy chapter 4, in fact, Deuteronomy, what is it? Is that this point of transition, just like we're at a point of transition between 16 and 17? The people of God are at this point of transition. They're about to cross which river? Did you say Jordan? They're about to cross the Jordan River. So now Moses is speaking to his people, right? This is a time of transition for the people of God. All right? So this is a time of transition for the people of God. And this is where I want us to pick up these lessons today. So if we could go to the next slide. I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is what Moses says to these people, right? So get the picture in your mind. The people are, thousands of people are camped right next to the Jordan River. They're about to cross the river to go into the land of promise. And Moses is preaching to them. He's saying, I can't go with you. God is not allowing me to go into the land of promise. But these are the important things I want to tell you as you go into this land of promise. He says, see, I've taught you the decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land that you are entering to take possession of. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and they'll say, surely this nation, this great nation, is a wise and understanding people. Okay, do you get the message that Moses is saying to the people? Remember the things that we taught. Remember the things you learned over these last 40 years. Look back and remember those things, right? And then he has two questions for them. I would like us to read these words together because these are very important words. And we'll read them together, then we'll come back in a moment and look at them. Let's read these words together, all right? This is verses 7 and 8, Deuteronomy chapter 4. We say together, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them in the way the Lord our God is near us when we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Verse 9 goes on to say this, only be careful. Be careful. Watch yourself closely, so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen, and you don't let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, another name for Sinai, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. So here's from this text what I would like us to take away. First of all, at a time of transition, remembering the past is very important. Verse 9 says, be careful. Watch yourselves closely so you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. And I believe that as we're standing at this transition point into 2017, my desire is that we would look back on 2016 and we would remember the things that God has taught to us in this past year that we won't forget. And that we'll look further back than that and remember the good things that God has taught us all through our lives. And that we would learn, we would not forget. We won't let those things fade from our heart. But I want to come to these two questions that we read. And I want to suggest that they're two questions that can help us look carefully into 2017. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them when they pray the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? My friends, this is the beautiful privilege of Christian faith. Our God is near us. I don't know if you were here when we looked at Matthew 6 at the beginning of the year, but in Matthew 6 we have this amazingly beautiful invitation from Jesus. When you pray, what do? You go into the room by yourself, right? You close the door, and in that room is just you and the eternal God of the universe, you and your Father, this relationship of intimacy, this place of no pretending, this place of just being with God. This is the relationship that God invites us to. And so we remember that God is near to us. Another beautiful picture is in Revelation chapter 3, as this picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, right? So we picture our hearts and this door, and we picture Jesus knocking on the door. And what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, open the door, because what? I want to come in and I want to eat with you. It's a beautiful picture of nearness, of intimacy, this place of fellowship that God of the universe wants to have with us. It's a beautiful, beautiful privilege of Christian faith. And so this is the question we ask ourselves. What other faith, what other nation has a God that is near to them in the way the Lord our God is near us when we pray to Him? The second question is this: what other nation is so great to have such righteous decrees and laws as the body of laws I'm setting before you today? And here we have in our hands a beautiful privilege. We have in our hands, in most of our languages, the revealed Word of God. This also is the great privilege of Christian faith. And so at this transition of the year, we remind ourselves of the value of this book. We remind ourselves that this is not just a book for Sundays. Remind ourselves that this is a book that we need to live into. This is a book we need to see Jesus in. This is a book through which we understand who God is and who God has made us to be. And we learn to live in this book, and we learn to receive the Word. Psalm 119 says, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet. It's a light for my path." And so, as we know, 2017 could be worse than 2016, right? But Your Word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path, and whatever happens in 2017, we have this beautiful privilege of the Word. Hebrews 4 tells us the Word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so we have the privilege of this Word before us. So we ask the question, what other faith, what other nation is so great to have such righteous decrees and laws as the body of laws I'm setting before you today? Here's the thing. We are forgetful people. Unless we are intentional about looking back and remembering, it's so easy for us to forget, right? So easy for us to forget. So the challenge in this new year, as we do transition into this next year, the challenge I would like to give us is that we do remember. We do look back. We remember what God has done for us. We remember what He has taught us. We remember His faithfulness. And then we look forward into the unknown parts of 2017, and we step forward with expectation. And what we expect, as we've been talking about over this whole Advent season, is that one day Jesus is going to come back again. He is going to come back to take us, to be with Him, to usher in the new heavens and the new earth. We have the privilege in the coming few months. We won't start next Sunday, but 2 weeks from now, I would like to lead us into at least an overview of the book of Revelation, which is a beautiful, complex story of Jesus and the fact that He is on the throne, and the fact that He's coming again one day. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And I look forward to spending that time together, anticipating the coming of Jesus as we reflect on some of the beautiful words in that book. But for now, let us stand at the intersection of this year. Look back, remember what God has done for us. Look forward expectantly that Jesus is coming back, remembering the things that we've learned, and living and loving God, living in His life, receiving His strength for whatever may come. Father, thank You so much for Your mercy, Your grace. Thank You for the story of the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Thank You for the way in which You were faithful to them. Thank You for the way in which You were near to them. Thank You so much for loving us. And as we stand at this intersection of years, I pray that You will teach us to follow You well in 2017. We thank You. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name.